to it.
What's poppin', everybody? Welcome back to a son and
his mother.
Happy
fucking
what day is it?
Thursday.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here and present because the main woman, Alyssa Rose, is sick and she sounds like Squidward and she feels like death. So I'm in place today. Woohoo!
Woohoo! Welcome.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom. This is nice.
Yeah, so you're going to have to show me the ropes, you know?
There's no ropes. We're going to start with our gratefuls.
All right, you go first.
I am grateful for this opportunity.
Aw.
Why not? I mean, yeah, I appreciate my kids always, but this is kind of cool.
This is cool. Usually we have Liz here, but now it's a one-on-one.
It's a one-on-one. He's like staring at me too. I feel like, wow. And Zane, what about you? What are you grateful for today?
What am I grateful for today? Well, there's a lot to be grateful for right now. And me and Liz usually write down our gratefuls, but I have to admit, since moving in and this whole shebang, I have not written down any gratefuls in like weeks.
Somebody's slacking.
In like weeks. I don't even know where the book is. So, I mean, I have to go with the house, you know, and just, I'll also say like the house and then just the fact that everything's been so smooth, like no problems yet. Like even yesterday, there was that bad storm. Yeah, definitely knock on wood. I'm knocking on the floor. No, yesterday there was that bad storm. No water anywhere. Like everything has been clean, like not a worry, not a flicker, you know, the lights.
I love that.
Yeah, it's been very, very smooth so far. No major problems, no nothing, you know. So I'll say my grateful is how smooth. I'm writing this down, guys, as I speak. How smooth the move-in process has been. So yeah.
Can I say how
it's
cute it is?
It's a good thing I'm not a podcast host. Let's put it like that.
No, you're doing great. You're doing amazing, Mom. Sweetie. I think it's really cute. Zane was sending me a message last night about like wanting to winterize his sprinklers and he's gonna try to close up the pool. And I adore the fact that he's like excited about doing those things. Like that's the excitement that comes with being a homeowner. It's like doing things yourself, getting your hands dirty, taking care of. Like I was so impressed. I love that for you. I do. Proud of you.
Well, you raised me that way, you know.
Also, if you guys don't already know, which you guys do know, Zane is a huge, which I guess also is kind of my thing because I always got to Google everything if I don't know something. But Zane is by far the biggest researcher I have ever known in my entire life. And if you just, for example, a TV, you're looking in a TV, looking to get a TV and he can get lost in it and find threads and like just he gets really passionate about it. But yesterday I was like, oh, this is cute. I was talking to Ever. I'm like, yeah, Zane's looking to like close his pool. And Ever right away is on it. He's like, I'm watching videos.
I know, that was awesome. He sent me one video. He said, you should watch this one. I said, playlist.
Listen, I said, not for nothing, Ever, but he's probably watched every single one already.
I didn't watch that one. Yeah, I didn't watch that one.
It's a completely different process than we're used to. So I'm like, I want Zane. Because he was like, oh, and you just got to add antifreeze. And I'm like, antifreeze into a pool? And he was like, it's like a different one. And I'm like, okay.
I know. It is different. That's what I've heard too from people that have in-ground pools, like compared to what we're used to. Because growing up, we had an above-ground pool. So yeah, it is very different from what I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, because the plastics.
And it's
ice
also
spray.
It's a different filter too.
Yes.
So, Alyssa's uncle has actually the same exact filter and an in-ground pool.
Oh.
And he does his every year. So he's going to show us the ropes a little bit and help us out with that.
Beautiful.
Show us how he does it, which is great. Because want to save money and
notes.
Do it ourselves. No, definitely, definitely.
And be very hands-on, because the more hands-on you are, the more you're going to remember.
Yeah, if I just sit back and, yeah, no, yeah. I agree. No, because I want to do things myself, obviously, for the satisfaction and also to save money, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's something that, I mean, it's to be expected, but there are so many small little expenses with owning a house that, like, luckily we have Al and Ever and sometimes myself, but mainly those two that help out, that are saving us a ton of money in the long run, mm-hmm. you know? So.
Yeah, and you had.
Shout out those gentlemen.
Her cousin and her man help with all the painting, yeah. which was tremendous. And yeah. you guys were very hands-on with that. No, it's very important to do shit yourself.
It is.
You know, I mean, maybe you feel like, what is that called? Like, fuck bucks. You know, maybe if you had fuck right. bucks, you'd do things differently. But I don't even think so. I think, like, it's yours. You want it to be your baby, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely satisfying doing it yourself, yeah. you know, for sure. I feel like I'm learning a lot of little things that otherwise, like, I wouldn't have even thought about doing. But like mm-hmm. you said, like, I'm looking up videos and tutorials about stuff that I'm like,
I'm
an old man now, like, looking up these little things. So it's funny.
That's awesome.
But yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
What's been popping with Mama G?
Same old baloney. Same shit, different day. We did celebrate Anne-Marie's birthday Friday.
We did. That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
First, like, actual party, yes. I think, that we had. Because, like, the first one was, like, a move-in, like, free-for-all. This was more of, like, a hey, purposeful, come to this yes. time for a party.
It was a purposeful.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was very nice. And everybody brought something, food. And it was just nice. It was definitely good vibes. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we love celebrating Anne-Marie.
Facts. That was a lot of fun. And... What was I about to say? I was going to say something. Oh, that was the night Roger Federer retired. Yeah, I was sad for the first bit of the party. But it was fun otherwise.
Yeah.
I'm glad it went smooth. And then what about that new show Dahmer you started watching? How's that been? I wanted you to tell me about it in person.
Okay, so... Spoiler alert, if anybody's watching, skip ahead. Are you planning on watching...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it starts off very different than I thought. Like, I think it starts off sort of in, like, in a reverse sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're, like, present day, and then it, like, filters back. And it's...
Oh,
it's,
that's cool.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I've been hearing, like, yo, it's, like, really fucked up, and don't watch it before you go to bed, and don't watch it on a full stomach kind of stuff.
Really?
And... If it was a made-up story, it would be fine. But the fact that these are facts, the fact that this happened, the fact that this... Oh, yeah. It's a tough one for me. A few times yesterday. Yeah. Yeah, a few times. We watched 3 episodes. Like, we watched 1 episode, and I was like, Ever, if you're not interested, he's like, not interested, let's go. And I'm like, oh, okay. And, it's funny because, like, Ever learns new words, you know. Everybody mm-hmm. knows Ever's not great with English, but he's learned over the last year or so the word pedophile. And I can't even tell you how many times he said, this guy's a fucking pedophile. And I'm like, okay, Ever. He was like, this guy's so fucked up.
Wait, was
this guy's
he a fucking actually pedophile. Or he was a murderer?
He was a murderer, but yeah. And he... 8 people.
Jesus Christ.
But I was texting you last night about his childhood, his upbringing.
Oh, it's
and you
fucked.
Wonder why yeah. people get to where they are, you know? And it's like, you know, I'm not going to blame his parents or whatever, but there was a part, I'm going to get a ton of fucking hate for this, but as they're telling his story, I felt bad for him. And it's like, not for who he became, but as a child, just witnessing things he's witnessed.
I don't think that's like it's frowned like, upon, though. I feel like that's normal.
But he became a monster. So the fact that I felt bad for a monster is what
well,
I mean.
Well, you felt
but
bad, like you just
when he was a child.
Right.
When he was 6 years old, I felt
yeah,
horrible
he had
for
to
him,
go through.
You know?
Yeah.
And I can't wait to watch more. I want to learn more about him. You know I love my true crime. You know,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know
that's
I
your
love
shit.
This shit. But I'm so intrigued by it. It's it's crazy. I know you said you watched The Clown. What's his name?
I don't remember Casey? His name. No, it was... I just can't remember it. It was the Chicago Clown Killer. Oh, Gacy?
John Wayne Gacy. Yeah, I said Casey. Yeah. But I want to watch that one now because I know you mentioned it to me a long time ago, mm-hmm. and it was like, I don't know why, I just forgot. But I literally go on looking for shows, and I love documentaries because that's real shit, right? So I find myself just falling into it, and just I love learning about the psychology behind it, and you wonder what fucking happens in people's lives that make them so fucked up. And it's like, this is a good documentary. This is, it's making me already understand, only 3 episodes in, why he is the way he is. And it's a hard one. I'm telling you, there's a couple times last night I was like, oh.
Just because it's gory or?
Yeah, or you just think of how fucked up he was, or the
things
that he
you're like,
was,
how is this guy even human? How is he someone who walked amongst us in society? Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh. The John Wayne Gacy documentary wasn't like as tough of a watch as what you're describing. Like, it was more just like really interesting. Like, I don't think there was any, like, if I'm remembering correctly, I don't think there was any super gory parts or anything where I had to like turn away. Obviously, it was very disturbing to learn that this was a real person who did these real things. But I'm curious because you're not usually one to say, oh, this was hard to watch. And you know, I think, you watch like horror movies, no problem. So like, that's crazy.
This, I think it's a little hard for me because, I mean, A, he did some fucked up shit, but because it's so real, you know, like, and the guy who's cast as him looks just like the real one. So
what year did this take place?
I think he was caught in 91.
What the fuck was it with the 80s? I feel like there were so many big serial killers in the 80s. Was it all the coke?
I have no idea. But I think it was 91. And that's why I'm saying, like, the way they played it out.
Yeah.
It was like it started in 91 and that's, when shit happened. But just seeing, his, like, trying to understand, like, his mentality of, like, why he did certain things. Or, I don't know, it was just so wild to me.
I've always, I want to see a stat of, like, the amount of serial killers that there are and how many of them have like fucked up childhoods. Cause I feel like it's all of them. No, like you were saying before, like you feel bad for what he went through as a child, which by the way, I think that's a reasonable statement. Like you don't feel bad for him as an adult and obviously what he did, like that's horrendous. But like the fact that as an innocent 6-year-old child, like you have to witness X, Y, Z
and you
like,
also,
that's fucked.
Yeah.
And like, that's what like molds people, you know? And I feel like, not to toot my own horn, but I turned out halfway decent because I was
I'm halfway decent.
Yeah, you know, you gave me a great childhood and you taught me like morals and ethics and stuff. So, you know, if you don't have that and you're around really, really bad stuff, you know, obviously there are people that have like shit childhoods that turn out to be great people, but there could
That's
be the opposite.
It's either you got
to
kind of rise above or you just kind of go along. And I felt like he was definitely one of those that just went along with and used it as an excuse rather than trying to rise above and become a different person. But also his I don't want to say too much because you're gonna watch it.
I mean, I don't know, you're describing this as fucked up and no. I just moved into a new house. I don't need to.
I really think it's a good watch. Really? I mean, let me watch a little more and I'll let you in on a little more, but I told you I'm only 3 episodes in, but his obviously there is mental health issues that runs in his family. So that's the other thing, like how much of it's a sickness. And then I think there was a I can't even
damn.
I can't because I don't want to say too much, but at the same time it's just like but
that's crazy. Well,
interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah. Now there's a lot of good TV out there. As soon as I get settled, I definitely need to watch like Dope Sick, like you're mentioning, maybe one of these. That's crazy. Yeah. But for now, I'm just on YouTube watching freaking How to Winter Wind with Sprinklers.
But I love that. That's amazing, though. It's a whole different. Isn't it a whole different, like? It's like holy shit! Like you're adulting now for real, real.
It's fun, know? and honestly, like. It's fun because I feel like this whole process has been smooth. It's been better than expected. So, like, it's making it fun. Like, if this was, let's say we were really uncomfortable in the house and we were unhappy and everything was broken or a pain in the butt and whatever, it would make the process not enjoyable, and doing things like winterizing the sprinklers, for example, would be like a big task. Right. Yeah, a pain in the ass. Was like, now it's everything is fun right now, and hopefully I'm not jinxing. I'm gonna knock on wood
again
one more time. But yeah. Anyway, shall we do emails?
We shall.
Or is there anything else that we need to cover? Everything else good with you?
Everything else is good with me.
Wonderful. Okay.
Yeah. We have an update, guys, of one that we recently spoke about. It was a girl who was married. Her husband just started drinking, like never drank, but just started drinking, and then became, like, when he drinks, he becomes like abusive, and he was throwing stuff. He threw something. Oh, you guys were telling me this. Yeah, he threw something at like the mother when the daughter was there. She's 4 years old. But she had asked us for advice, and she had said that at one of these points that his family, his mom and dad, came and got her and the kids from the house and like took them to safety and let him calm down. And Alyssa and I had suggested that because his parents are well aware of what's going on, maybe sit down and give this guy, with his parents' help, sort of an ultimatum. Like, we both agreed that we're not usually one for ultimatums, but this one was like when you drink, you can't stop. It's become bad. And she did just that. So she sat them down, her and her parents. His parents and her sat him down and did just that. So let me fill you in. Okay, it says, "Hi, girls. Boy, do I have an update for you. So per my last email, there have been many updates. I took your advice and I asked my in-laws for help in giving my husband an ultimatum. We sat him down and told him he cannot drink anymore. It's me or the beer. At first, he was hesitant and tried giving excuses until my now 4-year-old daughter stepped in. My daughter's very smart and understands what was happening, especially after seeing it firsthand. She looked at her dad and told him that she doesn't like it when he becomes a monster. He broke down hearing this from his own child. He accepted the fact that alcohol was starting to become a problem and accepted to go to AA meetings. I also took over all the financial problems, as that is my job. I left out that the reason he has drowned in bills was mostly with him being an impulsive buyer. But besides that, he's been so much better. He'd learned to say no when anyone offers him a drink. I know it's only been about a week, but this is the start to something beautiful. Thank you both for the amazing advice. You saved my marriage. Also, congrats to you and Zane on the new home. I cannot wait for the renovation videos. And Jerry, my cousin recently had a baby girl 2 weeks ago, and they were struggling with a name, and they wanted a G name, as both of their names started with a G, so they wanted to keep the tradition going. I suggested them the name Jerry, and they immediately fell in love. So now I have a new niece named Jerry Darling Gomez, and we hope she grows up as beautiful as you."
That is absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah. This is like all good. Like, it's a definite feel-good email. It's like,
thank God it worked out.
He took the advice.
Yeah.
You know, he's agreeing to go to AA. Like, I mean, how else could it have turned out? I mean, you're seeing your daughter say you turn into a monster. Like,
yeah, I feel like
if that's not gonna change you,
yeah,
you're not gonna change, you know. So
that's probably like one of the hardest things that you could probably hear as a father. Like, that's tough.
That's tough.
So I'm glad it worked.
I am so glad it worked. Holy shit. And I am completely honored. Like,
that's awesome.
Like, flattery. Like, flattered, like beyond flattered. Like,
aw. I think I've only met like one or two other people that have the name Jerry the way you have it spelled.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it too, because it's like a super unique name. You know, I'm a big fan of unique names. That's awesome.
Are you, Zane?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Zane's becoming more popular.
Wait, can we tell a funny haha?
What?
Was about her grandpa?
Yeah.
Wait, go ahead. You gotta do it.
Well, basically, her dad is, or her grandpa is old school Italian, and he just never heard the name Zane before.
But so everybody's name is like Mike and Anthony, right?
Yeah. So for a long time, he just called me Zach. And I just like, I went with it for a while. I just was like, yeah, what's up?
But then on the party, Amani was coming.
Oh, yeah. And he was just like, what happened to all the Italian names? Like Mike and Anthony. Alyssa was like, Grandpa, they're not Italian.
And what's the girl's name? Aaliyah. I love it. I love it. It's like, but they're not Italian. So cute.
Yeah, no, he's so wholesome, though.
Love it.
Yeah, he's a guy.
What a guy is, right?
All right, so now some time for advice from me and mi madre. All right, let's get into it. So, hi, Jerry and Alyssa. What's up? Before getting into the email, I just wanted to thank you for everything you guys do and for taking the time to give me your feedback. So, I just broke up with my boyfriend of 8 years, and I'm having second thoughts and don't know if I made the correct choice. We got into an argument a couple of days ago because he began questioning me about why the driver car seat was too far back and why my rear view mirror was too high. I exploded and told him that it was like that because that was how I left it, and to stop accusing me of cheating, and also that I wished I had cheated on him so he had a reason to accuse me, just to give you a summary of the argument. Now, mind you, this was not the first time he had accused me, and also I'm quite the introvert, as in I never go out, have only one friend, and am barely on my phone. So I've never given him reason to doubt me. But now the reason I'm doubting my decision is because he did explain to me that his questioning me wasn't because of insecurity, but because he didn't feel loved by me. Because honestly, I admit that I'm very bad at showing my love and rarely express my feelings, which caused him insecurities about the relationship and not about me. Now, I made the decision to break up because I felt the dynamic wasn't going to work, because he needs someone to give him reassurance, and I'm someone that sees no need for reassurance. But he came back with being willing to work on his part by trying not to need as much reassurance, and me working on showing my love to him better. But I don't know if I'm capable. Sorry, guys. But I don't know if I'm capable of change, but also I'm aware that in a relationship that is important, and I'm scared that I'll never be able to change it or find somebody willing enough to help me change like he is. So my question is, should I stick with my decision to break up, or am I letting something go that is worth more than I think? Thanks again. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, it's 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of history. But I think it's good that you moved on. I think that you both are realizing that he needs that reassurance, that constant show of affection. That's not who you are. I think that's really big. Your love languages are very different. And I don't think you need to change, or he needs to change. You need to find partners with similar love languages, or at least understand what each other's love language is and respect that. But I don't know. I don't feel like it's worth pursuing. I don't know why.
Really?
Sorry. Yeah.
I was going to give the opposite advice.
Okay, well, good. Give the opposite.
Here's my thing.
Okay.
So now this is interesting because I'm a guy, right? I think guys, by nature, are sometimes bad at expressing their emotions. So like you already suggested, you know, if he's accusing you of cheating by asking you, like, why is this mirror so high and why is the seat so far back?
By the way, is the mirror so high and the seat so far back?
True.
True. I mean, why are you giving... That is a reason for him to have doubt. Right. I mean, if it's moved to a normal position, if you're maybe shorter than he is and he's like, yo, why is the seat all the way back there? You're not maybe purposefully, right, but you're putting that doubt in his mind for some reason.
She did say also that it was a big, long fight, so she obviously didn't include all the details. But what I was just going to say is that sometimes guys have funny ways of expressing their emotions. So I don't know how that whole fight winded up turning out, but I think you might be onto something with how, you know, he just wants more loving, essentially, and that you're not giving him that reassurance. So I think ultimately it comes down to you figuring out what are you willing to do and what are you like going to be happy with doing? Because I think that, you know, there's some guys out there that definitely need that constant reassurance, but there's also guys out there that just need reassurance like once in a while. And maybe he's just that. Maybe if he's not feeling loved for a bit, you know, and he wants a little bit of the lovey-dovey mushiness, maybe you give it to him like once in a while and it like scratches that itch. You know, and it doesn't have to be an everyday like, oh, do you love me? Oh, do you love me? Oh, do you love me? You know, because I just feel like 8 years is such a long time. No matter where you are in your life, if you're going from, let's say, 15 to like 23, like, right? That's 8 years. I think that's such a crucial part in your life. And then if you go from like, let's say, 23 to 31, and again, a super crucial time in your life. So like 8 years is just such a long time to just chalk it up to like, oh yeah, we just need reassurance, you know. Unless it was like if that was always how you guys functioned and now you're just kind of sick of it, I can understand that. But I would just be honest with yourself, and I always preach this. It comes down to communication. Like you don't even have to talk to him and say, I want to get back. Have an open conversation with him and say, listen, like, Leave it all out on the table and have a civil conversation. Don't yell, don't get angry, because nothing will get solved that way. Have an open conversation, calmly express your concerns and what you guys didn't like, because really, in my opinion, you wouldn't be asking this if you didn't still love him and want to go back. You know, if you were confident in your decision, you'd be like, yeah, fuck it, like, thank God I'm out of there. You know, like, you sent this email because you want to have that reassurance of like, if this is the right decision or not. And of course, we're going to give you advice, but I think ultimately it comes down to you talking with him calmly and openly, hearing what everyone has to say, and then making your decision from there. Because to me, 8 years is a long time to throw away over something like he just needs reassurance, especially because, like I'm saying, as a guy, I think he's not going to need reassurance. Well, I don't want to say he's not, because I don't know him. But I think most likely he just needs reassurance once in a while, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, guys want to feel loved too. I think that's a misconception, is that, you know, tough guys, they don't want to feel loved. They don't cry, this is that. But, you know, deep down they do. There's like a meme on the internet, Mom. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's like, you know, girls get compliments almost every day. A guy gets a compliment like once a year and it like makes his whole week, you know? But it's like, it's the truth. So it's like, maybe he just wants to feel loved once in a while, and that's it. So I would consider that thought and definitely talk to him openly and calmly, and then make your decision from there. That's my advice.
Do you know what, guys? I raised that. I'm proud of myself.
No, you should.
Okay, so I do absolutely agree with everything you said. My only thing is, like, at the end, she's saying, like, do I go back to him because he knows me best and like can help me to change, or do I try to leave it up to somebody else? And that's, I'm just going to reiterate the same thing. You don't have to change who you are, you know, like maybe having some kind of compromise. But I think, like Zane said, communication is key. He should, before being insecure because your seat is moved and your mirror is moved, he should have been able to express to you, like, hey, I need some reassurance. Can you show me some loving?
You are 110% like, correct.
Don't let it get to that point. Like, he should be able to say, you know, like, I know you and Lissa have had conversations where, like, hey, I'm only at a 20%, you know, today. I need you to give me a little more. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. It's like, there's days that you might need a little more from him and he might need a little more from you. And, you know, maybe I'll take back my whole statement about maybe not just staying away from the relationship because it is a long time. But I think things as far as communication would need to change, because I feel like that's such an easy, like, honey, I'm needing some extra loving today. Like, there's no reason why your man can't just express that to you in however way a man expresses that type of thing. Yeah. Because I definitely know that there's days that I notice that Ever needs a little more loving. Like, he had a bad day at work, or he's just seeming like a poopy diarrhea face.
Right.
You know, I'm like, oh, let me love on him a little extra today. But I think reading the room and reading him and then him being honest and expressing himself, I think that might be able to, you know. But exactly what Zane said, get together, have a conversation. What's right or wrong about the relationship that you guys had? How do you feel? What do you want from it or expect from it? Both of you, you know, and see if it is worth salvaging.
Yeah. Because
it is a long time.
Communication is just key on both ends. Mom's right. Like, not only do I think that, you know, you guys should both communicate better, or sorry, that you should communicate better, but definitely him too. Like, it should never get to the point where he's like expressing his communication through insecurities. You should just straight up be like, hey, I don't feel like, you know, you're being loving with me lately, or I'm looking, you know, like you just said, like, I want more loving, essentially, you know, like, there's ways to say that. And I think especially when you're with each other for 8 years, I mean, speaking from experience, like, I would imagine there's nothing that you're not comfortable talking about at that point. Like, you should be cool with expressing your emotions. And if you're not, then you really have to start communicating. Because, like, yeah. I think communication is by far the most important thing and arguably easiest in terms of, like, you know, preventing. Once you're, yeah, like, but it is tough in the regard of, like, you are being extremely vulnerable, you know? So it is tough, but.
Let me ask you, if you were feeling a day, if you were feeling a day, if there was a day that you were feeling like you needed a little more loving, how would you either hint at it, or would you ask Liz straight up, or would you, because I'm thinking, like, even if he was feeling the need for a little more, maybe set a date, maybe take her out to dinner, like, maybe that little one-on-one interaction may feel that, but as a man, how do you, if you're feeling a little less, do you go about getting a little more? If that happens to you, I'm not assuming it does, sorry.
Well, I am lucky enough to say that I don't have this problem with Liz often. I think the closest thing that happens, which hasn't happened in a bit, but let's call it like a few years ago, sometimes Liz would get so wrapped up in her work where, like, she just wouldn't really, like, not that she wouldn't talk to me, but it just, we always said that it felt like we were roommates. So, like, whenever that happened, I just, we talked about it once, and then if it happened again, I was like, oh, like, I just feel like we're roommates, meaning, like, you're not kissing them on the cheek, or you're not, you know, giving a hug from behind, you're not being sweet, you're not calling them, you know, beautiful, handsome, cute, whatever, like, you're just, like, literally, like, roommates, like, no, like, affection, not, like, you know, what people do, and I think that's important, especially, like, the longer you get in relationships, you can't let that quote-unquote honeymoon phase die,
right?
You know, like, that's, you have to be cute just like you were in the beginning of the relationship to keep that spark. And of course there's gonna be dips, no one's perfect, but I think that's where the communication comes into play,
because so it's, you, like, just have a conversation and be like, starting to feel like we're roommates, and then it's, yeah, readjust, focus back on what's important. Because,
or just straight up say, hey, listen, like, I feel like you're being pretty distant lately, I feel like you're not showing affection, can you show more? You know, like, I'm a big fan of being straight up, so I would just literally say something like that.
Okay.
And also the last thing before we wrap up, because I know we gave a lot of advice on this, it is also a thing that maybe she's just the type of person that doesn't show a lot of affection. He wants a lot of it, and they're at the stage now where they're like, okay, they're at a crossroads. And if that's the case, that's also, like, fine. I'm not saying that, you know, this will 100% be able to work just by communication. Like, it is very real that there's people that just don't care to show a lot of affection, and there's people out there that want all of the affection. So, like you were saying, I definitely think there's some, like, truth to that. Like, if your love language is so off, like, it's chalked. Chalk it up.
No, that's like me and Ever. Ever constantly is, like, he's just constantly looking for the physical touch. Like, Ever is a very physical touch kind of guy. Wants to sit next to me. Like, even if we sat down in a booth at a restaurant to eat, his thigh's got to touch my thigh, and it's like, his elbow's got to touch my elbow. He's a very handsy-feely kind of, you know, where I am too, to an extent. Like, I love hugs. Like, I think hugs are amazing. I think it's a underrated form of, I don't know, expression. But it's like, just give me an inch, okay?
Give me some space.
So I can kind of feel, you know, but I mean, that's why I'm saying, I think I take back everything I said, because I'm not ready to leave Ever, because we're very different at love languages kind of thing, you know? But we communicate on it. Like, I'm able to say, excuse me, can you give me an inch? And then there's times where he's able to say, can you, like, come cuddle? So right. I think that's the communication aspect that we are lucky enough to have.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I don't say anything and then I get pissed off and resentful. So communication is definitely key. So yeah, listen to Zane. He's a smart cookie. I wish you well.
Yes, definitely.
Let us know what happens. Hopefully this helps. Yeah. Let us know if you guys get back together or not, you know? Okay, next one. Oh, I read this line as Zane was talking before and my eyes popped out. It says, "My husband is in love with somebody else. Hello, ladies. My husband is in love with his stepsister. They have never acted like siblings and barely talked in the last 3 years their parents have been together. All of a sudden, he talks about her all the time. They text all the time, and everything is always about her. I'm devastated. He says he's not in love with her, but I have a huge gut feeling. We have 5 kids, and 2 of them are his stepkids, and the other 3 are his biological kids. I'm a stay-at-home mom and have no income of my own, and I don't know what I'll do if he decides he's just done."
That's a lot.
That's a heck of a lot. That's like a whole novel written into this little tiny paragraph. Wow. Wow.
Let me go first. So yes, please. Here's my thing. First of all, that's fucking crazy, if that's true. I know that he's saying he's not, and you're saying that you have a gut feeling. Gut feelings can be strong, and they're usually there for a reason, and in one regard or another. My honest advice, like, maybe this isn't what you're going to want to hear, but you're saying you're a stay-at-home mom, and you have no income. You got to find a way to become independent so that, you know, you can be safe and secure. Even if, by the way, even if you have like family that you can stay with, like that's fine. But like, you just can't be in that environment. So trying to find a way to make some side income or get a career, stay with parents, like something that you can do to get out of the situation if need be is crucial, right? And then like, once you figure that out, definitely sit down and be like, listen, what's going on? Because the fact that you even are saying that leads me to, like, I don't think no one just thinks that. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's got to be some weird shit going on, which mm-hmm. is why you're saying, like, you have this woman's weird gut intuition. Feeling. And, you know, there's kids involved, so it's super, super tricky. But definitely, like, maybe, Mom, you can give, like, better final advice. But I'll definitely say for step one, it's try to find secure a way. Yourself. Yeah, to secure yourself. Not even be independent. I take that phrasing back. But find a way to be prepare. Secure. What?
Prepare.
Yeah, prepare and be secure so that you can like live healthily and happily if he was gone. So whether that's like staying with parents or loved ones or, you know, close family, finding a career and getting your own place, like something like that. Or not getting your own place, but having the means to get your own mm-hmm. place. And then talking to him, because this is very, very bizarre. And like, to be honest, I don't know, Mom. That's all I got. What do you got?
Okay. Well, the saddest thing to me right here, well, not the saddest, because this whole thing is sad, but the very last sentence, she says, "I don't know what I'll do if he decides he's done."
Mm.
Like, that's so sad that women, is that, well, I think it's really bad. I think I was in that situation too. Like, I know, and this is weird because you're my son and he's your dad, but I know I stayed with your father far longer than I wanted to.
Yeah, you told us this.
Because of my children not wanting to be that single mom, staying in a situation where I mean, thankfully I was never physically abused or anything like that. It wasn't that kind of situation. But I felt the same way. I felt sort of like, what am I going to do? I have 3 kids. Like, how am I going to survive? How am I going to do this? And I think a lot of people stay in situations far longer than they need to because they don't have a means to get away or to be self-sufficient and independent and live in a safe environment. So I wouldn't recommend staying there any longer than you need to because you don't have those means. Like, that's what I'm saying. Maybe prepare for this.
Yeah.
Also, women's intuition. I've unfortunately been in shitty situations, shitty relationships, and my intuitions, I would say maybe 75% of the time are always correct. Unfortunately, my past has made me now make some assumptions in my recent past, which have been wrong, thankfully. But I think we become so damaged and we just assume shit after a while. So you don't want that to happen to yourself either. You know, you don't want to become damaged goods because of somebody's, you know, like, you have to stand up for yourself and for your children and be independent and be strong for yourself and for them. I think it's definitely weird that all of a sudden it's constant text. It's all about her. It's everything else. So I definitely think, like Zane had said, make yourself get some sort of somewhere you can go and bring your children, wherever that may be, however that may be, family. And then definitely you need to have a conversation with this man. And I mean, obviously you have, because he said he's not doing this. He's not in love with her. But if you're feeling a certain sort of way, then he needs to adjust the way that he's presenting it. Because if he's not in love with her and there's nothing going on and there's no love feelings towards her, why are you feeling that way? So he's obviously neglecting you.
Yeah, there's some area of neglect, right, for sure.
Right. So you need to be able to talk to him and say, fine, if there's nothing going on truly, you're still, there's something lacking and you need to give me what I need to feel that I'm in a healthy, loving relationship, because right now I'm not feeling that from you.
I think it's great advice.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry too. I hope that the situation works out and hope this advice helped.
Damn. All right, this one's all you, Zany. Save me. Zany Brady.
All right. Hi, ladies. My boyfriend and I started dating right before COVID, so for majority of our relationship, we've been living at home. March to September of 2020, we were at home. Then September to December 2020, he and I lived away at school. His sister stayed away for school until April 2021. Since then, we've all been at home, and his sister and I have grown closer as we see each other multiple times a week and also have been working together this summer, and I am now in the same undergrad program that she was in, so we tend to talk about these things. Anyway, this September, I'll be going away for school, an hour and a half drive. My boyfriend and his sister will be staying home. My parents are also moving, so I'll only be in our hometown to see my boyfriend. I'm worried that without seeing her as often, we won't be as close, and without working together, we will have less to talk about. That being said, we do have a trip planned for this December. My boyfriend, his sister, her boyfriend, and I are going away for a week in December. Alyssa, I see the relationship you have with Aaliyah, and I hope to be as close with my boyfriend's sister. I know you and Zane have been together for years, and Aaliyah's younger. I know you guys have been close distance-wise. Did you always have a sister relationship? Any tips? Huh. Well, I'm not Alyssa, unfortunately. And Alyssa does not have siblings. So, I mean, I'll give my best shot at this.
Okay.
I think for me personally, like for my own relationships, if people are far away, if I don't get to see them often, I think texting goes a long way. Even about like little stuff, right? So you guys said that you had like your undergrad program in common, and I think that you said you're not going to be in the same program anymore. But if you can just like text her about stuff that you guys have in common, like little stuff, like if there's an update in the field that you guys are interested in, or like if you guys are interested in like the same show, like let's say for example you guys watch The Bachelorette, if you guys are like, oh my god, did you see this week, like blah blah blah, this was crazy, just like little shit like that occasionally. Like I'm not saying you guys have to have full-blown conversations every single day over text, but I think just kind of
keeping in touch
with little things, making it casual and friendly, and like showing that you're like thinking about her will maintain that relationship, at least in my experience. And I think, you know, for the fact that it's like your boyfriend's sister, I don't want to speak for Alyssa, but I think why she's close with Aaliyah is because she treats Aaliyah more like a friend than like her boyfriend's sister, if that makes sense. Like just be a friend. Don't be, this is my boyfriend's sister, so I have to do X, Y, and Z. Like, it sounds like you already have a great relationship with her. So just be a friend.
Same way. Yeah.
Like, don't overthink it.
I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Only, like, with Zane and Liz moving out, for example, and with the thought of me potentially moving out of state, I've always had in the back of the mind, I know Alyssa and I have spoken this a million times, is when you have distance between, you make a point, like you said, you already have a plans in December. When you have distance, physical distance between you, you can, when you do see each other, know that it's purposeful, and the time that you spend together is going to be quality over quantity, you know, where like now you may see her all the time because you work together. You guys are going to the same, you know, like you have a lot of things. You see each other often, everything else. So it's like, if you're not seeing each other often, when you do, it's meant with intent, and it's going to mean that much more. Like, you have to go into it like that and believing it, because that's what I do. Because I think all the time, I'm like, damn, everybody lives so close here. And if I was having, you know, if I was having to have to move out of state, like, I would be devastated. But at the same time, I know if I came back, it would be quality time. I know it would be purposeful with intent. And that's the only thing that keeps me positive about that, you know, circumstances, because I hate to have distance. Even with you guys, I mean, you guys, I could walk here in just a couple of minutes, mm-hmm. you know, but it's different. You know, it's, oh my God, it's such a beautiful thing, actually. But, you know, it's different than like just having you guys downstairs and stuff. So, of course, I'm not going to see you as often. But now when I see you, I feel like it's more for a reason. And I think that's important.
Agreed.
So, like, keep that in the back of your mind. You don't have to be in each other's presence to be present in a relationship.
That's a bar. Oh my God,
you love that, don't you?
That was fire.
So, like, I think, like, what Zane said, staying in contact, texting, you guys have things in common which are making you bond over school, the boyfriends, you know, like, you guys have a reason why you connected. Just keep that connection up. That's that.
100%.
Okay. I think he gives a great work career advice needed. Hi, ladies and Zane. I've just been listening to the podcast since 2020 and it has become an escape for me. This is the first time writing in. Thank you both for being wise and having good humor. I laugh out loud at some episodes. You both are inspiring. Thank you guys for reading my email. And please be honest with any advice or feedback you might have. It's the one thing. We always give honest advice. It's easy to be very honest with people when you're not face-to-face with them, you know? Okay, so let's get into it. Summer 2021, I got hired at a position at a well-known American corporation. It's been over a year now, and I'm absolutely miserable. To my friends and family, it might seem like I'm stable and well-off. I'm moving into my dream home September of 2022 with my girlfriend, and I'm excited for this next chapter of my life. But every single day, I wake up miserable to go to work. I've struggled with anxiety most of my life, but it's gotten even worse now since I started working at this company. I can't even begin to explain the amount of overwhelming and stress I'm put under some days throughout my work week. I feel like all I ever do is work and sleep. I have no energy to do the things I want to do anymore, and I know I have to start or I'll completely lose myself. My social anxiety at work meetings weekly has brought me panic attacks and stress weekly. Although my numbers prove I'm great at my job, I just feel like I'm never enough. I feel like quitting every day, but I'm scared of what my friends and family may think. And now I have another huge payment starting in a couple of weeks, and I know for a fact this job isn't at all aligned with who I am or what I actually want to do in life. I'll be finishing school in a year and a half, but I sometimes wonder if I'll be making it through that long. I don't know if I'll find a better job than this until I get a job in the field, but I also don't know if I can survive the mental stress and workload that keeps doubling up weekly. Tough love and harsh truths welcomed. Any advice at all will be helpful. Thank you guys for reading, and I hope you both have a safe, joyous day.
Wow. All right, let me go first, because yes, this is stuff that I'm passionate about. Okay, so here's the thing. I am such a big believer in your surroundings, your environment is so, so important to your overall happiness. If you wake up and every day you get to go into this environment that you're excited to go into, you are going to be so much happier of a person, right? If you're going into this job every day, even if you're making good money, but you're fucking miserable, get the fuck out of there, right? That's like very generic advice. Here's the thing. You did say you have a really, really big monthly payment now because you just recently purchased a house, right?
Mm-hmm. They just bought a home.
See, this is tough.
That is tough.
Because buying a house is obviously, I mean, I just freaking did it. It's a huge, huge commitment, and it was something that I was waiting a long time. Like, Liz was ready for a long time, actually, and I put it off for as long as possible because I wanted to feel ready, because I knew that if we did have this big monthly payment and I was not in any position to comfortably take care of that, I would feel anxious, and I don't want to live with that underlying anxiety and stress every single day, as it says that you are living with right now. So a couple of pieces of advice. Number one, like, you know, you said you're moving into your dream home. I'm curious, like, did you close yet? I mean, it says September in here, and it's September, like, right now. So I'm curious as if you moved in already. Did it fall through? Can you retract your offer? Because truthfully, like, I would wait if you're not happy. Because, like, think about this. Like, even if you do get your dream home, if you have to wake up every day and go to some job that you hate, even if you're making good money, and then you come home, sleep, and then just rinse and repeat, you are going to be miserable. You're not even going to be able to enjoy your dream home. There's no purpose. There's no purpose, right? And I don't know if your girlfriend is making income to, like, help with this big monthly payment. If that is the case, like, let's say she's bringing X amount of money, if you're able to find a side job while you finish up school, like something that maybe is, you know, not necessarily all glamorous, but something to just pay the bills until you finish school and can get that job in your field, driving DoorDash, or like Uber Eats, getting a job at like an Aldi or something. Like, they make pretty good money for cashiers. Something that, again, is not glamorous, but something that'll at least be a change of environment, a change of pace for you, and will help, you know, make this year and a half or whatever until you get your degree and finish school and get the job in your field that you're looking for, make it more palatable, right? So, like, again, obviously we're reading this email a bit late. I wonder if you moved in already. But my first piece of advice would be, like, try to not move in, you know? And obviously, if assuming that everything went well and you're moved into this house now, like, it sounds like you have your hands full with this job. But if you can, like, definitely try to find a way to make this monthly payment for a year and a half with a side income job. Mm-hmm. Like, get the fuck out of there, you know? That's really what it comes down to for me, is like, try to, like, you're not gonna, it's gonna be so detrimental for you to stay there for another year and a half. Mm-hmm. Like, that sounds absolutely horrible. Like, I've been in positions where I'm like, fuck, I can't, like, for example, school, like, I hated school. I couldn't wait to get the fuck out of school, you know? So it's like, obviously work is a lot more stressful, and, you know,
the fact if you're that working now you for have a corporation,
yeah, like, there's a lot more real life stress there. So I can only imagine how that is, but I would definitely recommend to financially, because that's what it comes down to, financially try to find a way to make some side income, at least enough so that you can make your house payment and stuff and live semi-comfortably. But realistically, like, okay, if you're working at a big corporation, you're probably making good money, you're able to get a nice house, which means you're able to get approved for a decent mortgage, right? If you were to get a job, like, just for example, with DoorDash or like Instacart or something like that, you're obviously not going to be making as much money. So I think you have to be real with yourself and consider your happiness versus luxuries. So if you're making decent money and you are driving a BMW, or if you're driving a nice new car, consider selling the car. Yeah, you have to sacrifice. You have to sacrifice in some regard. This isn't like as easy as, oh, just quit your job and do DoorDash. Like, no. You're going to have to make some uncomfortable sacrifices in some regards. But again, like, I prioritize my environment over everything. So for me, like, I would find every fucking way to get out of there. And I would sacrifice eating out and driving a nice car, right? And I sacrifice.
I mean, if you have to eat ramen every night, then you eat ramen every night.
That's what you have
night.
To do, yeah, to get out of it's that, because change. Your environment is everything.
Can I just ask you also, like, what do you think about, like, mind over matter in this situation? Like, they took on this mortgage, they're moving into this house, the job is miserable. But if you wake up every morning with the mindset of, oh, I'm going into this miserable workplace,
yeah,
you're already setting yourself up to be miserable. I mean, a year and a half, they're gonna, this person's gonna finish school and be able to maybe find a job in their career and then move forward in life. If realistically they can't find something that can substantially hold them with this mortgage payment now, mm-hmm. do you think you could like fake it till you make it? Like if you go into, because that was my advice gonna be, like if you can't, if the house went through and you already moved in and stuff like that, one other piece of advice I'm interrupting myself is, if you already closed and haven't moved in, can you rent it out for something in the meantime to try to cover the mortgage?
You know, that's like not a bad idea.
You know, but okay, so say that can't be possible. The other thing to me is fake it till you make it. We all know how quick time flies, right?
True.
And if you can try to change your mindset and like lie to yourself and pretend you love it there just to get through this time to finish up school so that you can keep your house, not fault on your mortgage payments and stuff like that. That might be something that if you can't find a side hustle to make your mortgage payment, then I think this is your only way to go. My biggest thing out of this email is, what are my friends and family going to think if you quit? To me, that's the least of your problems. You shouldn't give a shit what they think. And you know what?
They're not living your life.
If you were my child going to work, living miserable every day, I would encourage you to quit your job. Yeah. So,
I mean, like, you encouraged me to drop out of school.
I did. Music. I did. That's true. Yeah. He was miserable. I was watching my son suffer because he wanted to do music and kind of school was interfering with that. I saw him, you know, like struggling. Like, and I think any good friend or family member would see that you're miserable or struggling and support you in your decision to leave. So I know it's like I'm contradicting my advice, like, but if you can fake it, team again.
The situation is nuanced. Like, I'm going to contradict my advice too right now in a way. Or actually, maybe I'm not, but I just thought of this as well. It's time, if it's that bad, right, mm-hmm. his environment, mm-hmm. like, this is why I just said that everyone's situation is so nuanced. Because what's important to me might not be important to you. Like, you might be able to put your head down for a year and a half and just grind it out. For me, I just can't. I'm not built like that. Like, right. I would fucking blow up. Like, right. I'm just not. Like, I would get the fuck out of there. I would consider selling the house. You just bought it. Fucking flip it. Mm. I know somebody you know, right there that just did that. They bought the house. Someone bought it and then they just flipped it and they already sold it. With how crazy the market is, like, I know right now the real estate market is kind of like slowing down. It's not as crazy as it was in, mm-hmm. let's say, July or something like that. But you can probably flip it for at least break even, potentially a small profit. If you can find a place to stay for right now, whether it's with loved ones or if you rent a small apartment, like, I'm not sure where you live, but maybe it's not too bad to rent or something like mm-hmm. that. Fucking flip the house, get rid of it. Because, like, again, it's nuanced because I don't know your personality, but just judging from, you know, your descriptions and based on my own thoughts, like, I would not want to grind it out for a year and a half. I just can't. I would find a way to get out of there.
I mean, I kind of been in situations where I felt like I was forced to grind it out for that year and a half. Mm-hmm. Also, I think that was a lot before stuff like Uber Eats. And I mean, listen, it depends on how, I think, badly you want that house and how important that is to you. Because stuff like Uber Eats, what was the other thing you were saying?
DoorDash,
those things, man, you can fucking just keep working and working and working and working and working. Yeah. And I mean, endless opportunities to make money, you know, and there's so many other ways to make money too. So I think, like Zane said, it's kind of dependent on what's truly important to you. And if you are driving a big fancy car, maybe downsize to something to save you money for your mortgage. Like, it's, you're going to have to make a pros and cons list. And I think that's going to be the only way you're going to make a decision, is like really figuring out what's truly important. Because to me, mental health over everything. I mean,
yeah,
100%. If you're miserable in life, like, I agree. Like, I was the one who suggested, like, stick it out, pretend it's butterflies and rainbows and unicorns at the workplace. But if that's not you and that's not something that you could do, then you really need to sit there and what's important, you know? And mm-hmm. maybe, like Zane said, maybe sell the house or downsize your car, get some side jobs, you know?
It's not a bad idea. And I think that's what I would do, because I cannot imagine waking up. Like, for example, like, I just, I can't imagine waking up every day, going to some place I hate, doing some shit that I don't care about doing, coming home late, it seems, waking up and doing the same thing over and over
and feeling like there's no escape because now you have a huge mortgage payment. It's a predicament.
Yeah. And to be completely honest, what's holding you back? I think it's the mortgage payment. So my line of thinking is find a way to get rid of it. I understand it's your dream home, but there's many other nice homes out there. And maybe you just have to accept the fact that you bought a house too early. Like, I think, in my opinion, you buy a house when you're comfortable financially, when those finances are comfortable. It's also coming from a source of, you know, you're not miserable. You enjoy doing your work. It's comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I include your experience at work with comfortability when talking about finances. It's not just about how much money you're making. It's how you're getting that money. Are you enjoying it? Mm-hmm. Is it a pleasure? You know, because otherwise it's not sustainable. And it's sustainable, like, you could grind it out, but you're going to be fucking miserable, like you said you are. And, like, that just seems like not a fun life, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to go too deep, but we have one life. You never know when your time is up. So, like, why suffer, you know?
I agree.
Potentially make some sacrifices, downsize for a better happiness. Then, year and a half, you get your job in your field, you get your money up, and you buy a house then.
Yeah.
There you go. Mom, it's been an absolute pleasure.
It has been.
We should do this more.
We should.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to take...
Oh, wow.
No, only because I don't want to take Alyssa's spot. I'll definitely be a guest. Listen,
at least we know, like, if she's ever away or, like, today where she's a little under the weather, at least we know we could do this.
100%. You know? 100%. Okay,
guys. Well, that was fun. I appreciate Zane's filling in for her and
thank you. Being hopefully, able to if you thing. Guys made it this far listening to me, big shout out to you guys. Because I wonder who's gonna listen to that intro and be like, "Fuck this," and just get to the next episode. Oh no,
they
all are.
Are you kidding me? They love Zane.
Oh man.
Okay. Well, until next time.
Yeah. Until next time. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm trying to remember Alyssa's outro. You can.
Good luck with that.
Anchor.fm/Agamil. I don't know. AGAHMIL. Email. AGAHMIL business
podcast at gmail.com.
Motherfucker, I messed that up. Yeah, guys, I'm sorry. I don't know the outro, but it's been
a
pleasure.
If you don't remember the email address, you could always go on our Instagram if you don't already follow us there. Follow us on Instagram and you can always hit the email button and it'll bring you right there.
Look at you, Mom.
Look at me. Clap it up. Oh my God, I need to have Alyssa listen to this. I did quite well. And you know what? If you don't want to wait until Monday and Thursday, you can, I don't know what it's called.
Subscribe.
You can subscribe to us and you can get your episodes on Sunday and Wednesday. So you could do that too. A day early. No ads.
Wait, did you say what did you say before? You said Monday and Thursday and now it's Sunday and Wednesday?
Sunday and Wednesday. They get it a day before.
Nice. That sounds like a good deal. I would subscribe. I am subscribed.
Oh, you're so cute.
I just shook my head. No. All right, guys. We're leaving for real. Okay. Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
And I'll see you sometime. Mom will see you soon.
Okay. Okay. Love you. Bye.